Welcome back to Engaging Our People. I'm Jonathan Stevens. I'm your host for this episode of Engaging Our People. We were just talking with Tessin and Simone about the Take a Knee event, and they were also giving us an introduction to the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion team here at Legacy Health. Let's continue the conversation with Tessin and Simone as they discuss the importance of employee resource groups and the importance of leadership support with these groups.
As we reflect back in that time and then just the different things that the changes that happen based on the event of George Floyd's murder and how our organization really, you know, start looking through a DEI lens and making changes right throughout the organization. This was the first time that our organization actually utilized ERG groups. You know, prior to that, our upper leadership, I don't know if they even knew what ERG groups, you know, ERG groups were, but this was the turning point for the visibility and the importance that ERG groups share in the fabric of Legacy Health. The first time.
And to use the title Engaging Our People, this was the leadership directly engaging our people to get the temperature of what's going on and to get recommendations, right? Rather than saying, oh, here are our recommendations. What do you all think? They're like, no. We want you to give us the recommendations and we'll just follow it.
No, that's a nice play.
Not to mention our mission. I always go back to Legacy's mission because to me, I really, really believe in our mission, for one. But when you really, really dissect our mission, our patients, our community, our employees, you know, and we in healthcare, we always think about patients first, community, and then employees. But during this season, we thought about employees, right? Yeah. It was about employees' health and wellness, which is quite different. We changed that around a little bit. Right? While we were still doing our patients.
And I don't know that we mentioned it this time, but I've heard, you know, we had talked about this before, is if we, if our leaders and our supervisors are treating Black employees this way, I shudder to think how we're treating our Black patients. I mean, we are the litmus test. If our leaders, if our physicians, they treat us poorly and we work for you, I shudder to think how you treat our patients that come in through the emergency room. You know? That's why engaging with ERGs is so important, because, you know, we're really kind of that test group to be able to say, no, this is not good enough, right? Or, wow, you went above and beyond what we thought was good enough.
To be a part of an ERG group, you can actually go on the Legacy's intranet and you can search out ERGs and end up, it will actually open up a page with all of the ERGs. We actually have six, I believe, active ERG groups. And you don't have to identify with the ERG group to join. There is an email address on the internet page in which you can just email and say you're interested. And that chair or co-chair will reach out to you via email and send you, like, I like to call it a welcome membership, and, you know, get you set up on the schedule of when they meet once a month. And it kind of goes from there.
There was discussion one time in the Black Employee Resource Group where some of the members weren't able to attend the meeting.
We're going to work on that.
Okay.
It's always been a struggle, not just for the Black Employee Resource Group, all ERG groups, to get employees time to be able to attend the ERG groups meetings, their monthly meetings. And we've came a long way with that. One of the first barriers were, you know, they would have to use their lunch hours to attend the meeting. And one of the things we went back to leadership and said, look, this is a problem. You know, we can't even, you know, connect with our employees to know what's going on in our organization.
And, for 1 hour, once
Once a month. we need you. You know, this is valuable, not just to the employee, but to the organization as well, right? So they created a cult just for employees to be able to attend and not use their lunch hour. Pre-COVID, we met in person. A lot of the ERG groups met in person for their monthly meetings. But when COVID came around, we actually had to go virtual. Mm-hmm. And so for ERG groups that cannot attend, there's always minutes. You always have a administrative person taking minutes. That's required. You know, to keep record in minute taking per, you know, per ERG groups to have a record of what's being discussed. Mm-hmm. And so we would just forward the meeting minutes out to the ERGs. So the ones that can't personally attend the meetings, they can stay in a loop of what's happening, you know, what kind of community events are happening outside in the community, things that they can, you know, some volunteerism opportunities for them. Mm-hmm. You know, internally and externally throughout the organization, because we have events within the organization as well. We have community outreach events outside our walls of legacy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and then we have employee recruitment events with human resources that ERGs are welcome to participate in. And historically, we pre-COVID, we did participate in. Mm-hmm. We partnered with the human resources department and tabled at these employment fairs and things like that. So hopefully we'll be able to get back to that since, you know, things are kind of easing out and people are getting back in the community. So
yeah. Our struggles right now are probably those who work evening shifts, mm-hmm. right, or weekends. Those that don't have access to the internet, or it's difficult for them to access the internet. And then probably providers who their schedules are so all over the place, yeah, that even if they're able to make it one month, they're not able to make another.
You're right.
And so that's a problem with a solution. And we're going to really support our ERG leaders to creatively think about how do we hit all of these groups so that mm-hmm. whatever barriers to participation exist, mm-hmm. we're able to remove them.
Yeah.
You know, especially now that, you know, in person with certain safety mitigation efforts are now becoming possible.
Exactly.
You know, this is also part of the DEI work, mm-hmm. is there are certain people, for example, even Catherine Correa's email, it made you feel included and heard. Mm-hmm. It pissed off a lot of white people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. this work is very threatening to certain people.
Mm-hmm. I have a call to action.
Yeah, we both do. Uh-huh. Yeah, go. So we do have two calls of action. The first one is personal reflection about why diversity, equity, and inclusion, such as having a diverse workforce, a workforce and a workplace that is equitable, in a way that treats and pays people for what they bring to the organization, okay, why an inclusive culture matters to you and the legacy mission, right? Reflect on that. You know, why is DEI a value that you are willing to change the way that you think and operate at legacy for, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an important ask. To take some time to do that, because you can't do DEI work effectively and in the long run if you don't have teeth in the game, mm-hmm. or skin in the game. I said teeth in the game.
Well, sometimes you might need the teeth.
Yeah, skin too. You gotta really bite into it.
So my call to action is first directed to legacy employees. ERG groups need you. We need to hear your voice. We need to partner with departments to do community outreach. You need to know you matter, mm-hmm. okay? And the second part of my call to action is to managers and leadership. Please encourage your employees to participate in ERG groups. Remove all barriers that hinder them from participating in the ERG meetings. You can do that. That's in your power. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do thank the both of you so, so, so much for your time. I appreciate all the efforts, again, the time. This has been a wonderful episode. I hope we continue to have more. I would like to, at some point, get you all either individually, just so we can get to know the team, because I feel like this episode, we got to know kind of an overview of the team, but it would be nice to dig deep and see. Simone, as your role, like what's your day to day or what are some of the things you're doing as you bring on the individual that you mentioned is a JD? It would be nice to, you know, not only get like the day to day of the job description, but just also how like his experience helps, you know, legacy or just the work that you all are doing. We'll have to.
Oh, that's another podcast how do people who now that this thing called DEI professional, now that it exists as a title, how do we get into the work, right? How do you pivot? What are the transferable skills? What are the things that you could be doing on the side so that you can incorporate DEI skill sets into whatever it is that you're currently doing or want to do? You know, that's an exciting one, because this is good work. This is very, very exciting work.
Great work done by great people. Again, my name is Jonathan Stevens. I was the host for this episode of Engaging Our People. There will be a link. I'll put a link on the web or on the intranet of where you can hear this episode and also where you can hear the other episodes that will come in the future from some of the other hosts. So again, thank you all for listening to Engaging Our People. Again, Jonathan Stevens, meeting with
Tessan Kim, Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer.
And Simone Carter, DEI Program Manager.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No problem.
This is your host, Jonathan Stevens, signing off on the last part of Episode 1 of Engaging Our People. Stay tuned for Episode 2 of Engaging Our People, hosted by Vicky Gwynn. Coming at you soon.